Capture of Fort William Henry. At the beginning of August, Montcalm, with nearly 8,000 French and Indians, advanced on Fort William Henry, which is described as square, built of pine logs, covered with sand, flanked by four bastions and surrounded by a ditch. On the morning of the 9th, Colonel Monroe, having withstood the siege 6 days and seeing no hope of relief from Webb, sent a messenger to Montcalm, stating the terms on which he would surrender, which substantially were that the English should be allowed to march out with the honors of war, carrying their arms and baggage. These terms were agreed to, and at 12 the next day, they marched over to the entrenched camp, there to remain until the following morning, leaving the sick and wounded under the protection of the French general. But even while they were passing out, the Indians swarmed in through the embouchures, murdering the sick and helpless. Rabaut says, "I saw one of these barbarians come forth out of the casements, which nothing but the most insatiate avidity for blood could induce him to enter, for the infected atmosphere which exhaled from it was insupportable, carrying in his hand a human head, from which streams of blood were flowing, and which he paraded as the most valuable prize he had been able to seize." Morning found the English ready to march, and as they filed out, protected by 300 French, the insufficiency of their escort became startlingly apparent. The savages swarmed in the woods on every side, and hung like a dark storm cloud along their path. Low, ominous muttering like distant thunder came from the surging, jostling crowd, gradually rising higher and higher until with fierce yells they fell on the panic-stricken English, striking them down in the very face of their helpless guard. The great number of women and children accompanying the men increased the terror of the scene. Soon all semblance of order ceased, and the march changed to a selfish race for life. The butchery, which at first was the work of a few, soon became general. They even tore men from the ranks and, like savage wild beasts, fought among themselves for the sickening prize of a human scalp. Some have attempted to exonerate Montcalm from blame, but he knew the nature of the savages, saw their treatment of the sick and wounded in the old fort the day before, and still on the morning of the massacre, with 6,000 French at command, sent only 300 to protect that long line of men, women, and children from the wild beasts thirsting for their blood. The number that perished is unknown, but has been estimated by some as high as 1,500. Their object accomplished, the French returned from whence they came, leaving the old fort a heap of smoldering ruins and the bones of the English bleaching in the sun. The sweetly solemn music of the waves rippling on the white beach below and the sad sighing of the wind among the pines, their only requiem. Then solitude reigned once more on the shores of the tideless lake.